Radio Avenger.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams
is on.
All righty. Hey, we're on the air, I guess, tonight on this Tuesday night edition, and I'm back, and we have certainly a busy schedule tonight. First off, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking once again about the hate crimes, hate speech bill that is in the Senate Judiciary Committee, S-909, and what's happening with that bill. As you know, there is certainly a lot of noise around the media, the so-called mainstream propaganda media, about this bill and what is happening to it and what is the constitution of it. What does it mean? We've heard a lot of discussion about it. We've heard a lot about the appendages that were attached to the bill, an all-out anti-discrimination bill that would even extend protection to pedophiles and the like. So let's talk tonight for a little bit with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org to get an update on exactly what is going on in that committee and what is going on the floor of the Senate. The opposition from Republicans and perhaps even a Democrat or two. Good evening, Ted. Okay. What is going on right now?
Well, as most of our listeners, the federal hate crimes bill did pass the House of Representatives about 3 weeks ago. And then just the day before it passed, Senator Kennedy introduced his version of the Senate version, S-903, into the Senate Judiciary. And he was confident, I'm sure, that he could also run that through the Senate Judiciary the following week to a very rapid passage in the Senate. But that has not happened. And through a number of circumstances and alerts, which I have been fortunate to be instrumental in, we have been intimidating the Senate Judiciary Democrats from moving the hate bill through. And we're going on now 3 weeks, and they're dallying around, and they can't make up their mind what they want to do. I think there's some really good news. Possibly the hate bill is getting in trouble.
But do you have anything concrete to add to that?
Well, you see, here's the bind they're in. They've had several judiciary hearings. They have not taken an opportunity to vote as they would have liked to just simply move the hate bill by a majority vote into the Senate. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute.
All right. We'll take that break and come back with Ted Pike. And you join us. You stay tuned for more of Rick Adams Uncensored here on RepublicBroadcasting.org. All right, we're back now with Ted Pike. And Ted, continue, please. We were interrupted by the break, but now you can go ahead.
Yes, you see, Senator Kennedy obviously was trying to work in tandem, in rhythm with the passage of the hate bill through the House. And he, as I mentioned before, he introduced his Senate version the day before the hate bill passed in the House. Obviously, they were wanting the following Tuesday in the Senate Judiciary hearing to just be able to very quickly get a majority vote of the pro-hate bill Democrats on the Senate Judiciary and even have it on the floor of that week and maybe a day or two later, an exact copy of what happened in the House. But on Monday, May 4th, just before that hearing, I was told by Senator Kennedy's office that on the Tuesday hearing that they may well be going ahead and doing that, getting a majority vote to move the hate bill through without hearings onto the floor of the Senate. And that night, Monday night, I sent out an emergency alert for everybody to bombard the Senate Judiciary Committee first thing Tuesday morning, people getting up at 6 a.m. on the West Coast. And my troops were very faithful. We had a total blitz of the judiciary that morning, jamming the phone lines. And as a result, I believe, they decided to wait and not move the hate bill through to the floor of the Senate. Now, this was concurrent with tremendous controversy coming out, especially of the House. The House Judiciary hearings and then the floor of the House, we had tremendous anger from Christian America as we were learning that the members of the House Judiciary Democrats were not going to exclude pedophiles from special federal protection. They were determined to keep pedophiles under the umbrella of special privileges and services under the classification of sexual orientation. And then following hard on the heels of that was this astonishing admission by Representative Alcee Hastings on the floor of the House that, yes, he was saying the hate bill will protect all 547 versions, according to the American Psychological Association, of sexual deviancy.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that now under the hate bill, they will no longer have to live in fear of who they are. Now, what was happening here, there was an explosion of concern about the reality, the fact that this is a pedophile protection bill. And at that same time, there was a Fox mm-hmm. News, the five-minute Fox News alert with Megyn Kelly, and she was quoting Representative Steve King, who was strongly urging people not to fax, not to email, but to actually make calls to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And that broadcast probably went out to many millions of TV viewers. And so what was happening right then, there was this avalanche of calls coming into the Senate Judiciary Committee, all protesting the pedophile protecting hate bill. Also, I was encouraging everybody not just to call the judiciary members, but to demand hearings. And so we had a flood of demands for hearings coming in to the Senate Judiciary. Now, this was all very unexpected by the liberals on the judiciary. They didn't know quite what to do, and I believe
mm-hmm.
that they were on the horns of a dilemma then, and that dilemma is continuing here 2 weeks later, and they only have really two alternatives. One alternative is just go ahead and ignore the wishes and demands of probably thousands and thousands of callers who've come in demanding hearings, and bull the hate bill right through and bull it out onto the floor of the Senate and try to get it passed. And they certainly probably have the votes. But what that would do, it would give the strong impression to members of Congress, to the senators, as well as the American people, that this hate bill is so shaky, it is so transparent and specious that it cannot be subjected to normal congressional or legislative scrutiny. And what that would give the impression is the Democrats were so desperate to get it through that they would do an end run around the mm-hmm. legislative due process. That would be disastrous because it could even cause members of the pro-hate bill contingent in the Democrats and Republicans to drop off, say that they wouldn't be a party to that kind of underhanded tactics. Now, the other alternative in this dilemma, I believe, is to do nothing. And that seems to be what they're doing right now. They have no hate bill hearings scheduled, and they're just dallying. They don't know what to do, and that's dangerous, too, because the longer they wait and the longer the American mm-hmm. public continues to inundate them with criticism of the pedophile protecting bill, there are going to be some Democrats and Republicans who are going to say, well, with the midterm elections coming up, boy, I better protect my own tail and be concerned about my political future, because how is my opponent going to use this against me in the election, saying I voted for a pedophile protecting bill?
Now, what is the validity to a thesis that might be advanced that in reality, all of this opposition is a ruse in that it gives them an opportunity to at some point step aside, remove that possibly, remove the pedophile protection, make it more, quote, sanitized, send it back to the House, back and forth in conference, and then spring it on the American people. In other words, the usual, the typical crisis creation and crisis utilization dialectic here, so that ultimately they get initially what they wanted, and then they can add the pedophile in the future. What about that possibility, Ted?
Well, actually, Rick, he took the words right out of my mouth. I'm writing an email that's going out tomorrow that will address exactly that possibility. There is a possibility that in their desperation, they will actually come up with their own amendment
mm-hmm.
to the hate crimes bill, and it would probably go something like this, that nothing in this bill will protect any member of sexual orientation, the class sexual orientation, from prosecution for violation of law, something like that.
Some kind of a
caveat in there that would give the impression on the surface that any member of the homosexual community who is actually a violator of the law, a pedophile breaking the law, will by definition not be protected under this bill. Now, the problem with that is that it's completely contradictory to the essential nature of this hate, of this homosexual protecting legislation. You see, the category of sexual orientation is meant to inclusively protect all members of that class, all people who are involved in homosexual sex, whether they're guilty or not. Now, this bill, we have to realize this bill does not assert that actual violators of the law, pedophiles, should not be arrested, prosecuted, indicted, punished, and so on. No, it doesn't say that. What it basically says is that from the very beginning of any kind of a arrest, any homosexual who can scream hate crime that his rights are being violated, he's the victim of a bias motivated crime. This bill wants to give him special privileges to get not only triple penalties against the person coming assaulting him, but triple quickness of the police to come, triple zeal on the part of the district attorney to prosecute, triple zeal by the federal government with its criminology and investigative powers perhaps to come into the case and so on. You see, what this bill basically does is from the very beginning gives the homosexual pedophile, whether he's guilty or not, special federal perks, protection, importance, you see, because this legislation basically mandates triple penalties for any crime, bias-motivated crime against him. So he is basically, from the very beginning, three times as protected in the eyes of the law, three times more worthy of attention from the justice system. Now, that doesn't mean that if the facts dictate it, that he cannot be prosecuted on the local level. It just means from the very beginning, he has the power to bring the feds and the local police and justice system running basically three times faster because the crime against him is considered three times more serious, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
not only that, but he has the power to bring a tremendous grief to anyone who allegedly has attacked him. And Representative Gohmert said very powerfully that if a woman defends her child from attack by a pedophile, a homosexual pedophile,
mm-hmm.
That woman, by hitting the homosexual, could become a federal hate criminal. Now, what that means is that he has the power, the homosexual has the power to scream hate crime, which automatically means that woman attacking him is going to have to hire the best attorney she can. This is not just a misdemeanor. This is not just a simple assault where no attorney is necessary. She's facing possibly 10 years in prison for this, so she's going to have to hire the best attorney she can with probably a minimum $10,000 retainer. She's facing a couple of preliminary hearings. She's facing possibly a court trial. She may be facing literally tens of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees
mm-hmm.
and so on.
All right.
And in addition to that, she's facing a Class 4 felony with real jail time.
Very interesting. Stay with me, Ted. A lot more to talk about on this. I have other aspects I want to bring into it, too. All right. Rick Adams right here with Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. We'll continue in just 3 minutes with more. All righty, we're back now with Ted Pike, and what you have just said is an interesting explanation, Ted. I'd like to also maybe add this to the mix. You know, with all the opposition, and this is the first time the highlights have taken place in the media, the big media now, and Fox News has jumped on it, as you know, as well as the New York Times, others had reported on it when it came out of the House and passed the House. And then there have been some editorials opposing this bill, but some, of course, supporting it, as you know. And when people like Fox get into the act and they say they're, quote, the conservative news source, you know, fair and balanced, a lot of people get the impression that what they're hearing that is that this pedophile aspect of the bill, the hate crimes bill, is really the lightning rod. And if that could be removed, all opposition might die. In other words, it's not the fact that the federal government is assuming a posture in this whole debate about anti-discrimination laws and so-called hate crimes, which it should not. But the idea that if we can make it more palatable by taking out the pedophile aspects, then who would care? I mean, it's going to protect legitimate, quote, homosexual rights without getting into the more bizarre and extreme cases of pedophilia. So you see, that might very well be the conditioning of the mindset of many who are opposed in Christian and just across American circles.
Yeah, I think it's almost a certainty that if they want to move it forward, they are going to probably do exactly what we're talking about tonight. They will attempt to window dress it with an amendment there. It is similar to Amendment 10 or Section 10 of the present hate bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, several years ago, I think it was 2007, as a concession to the Republicans that this hate bill might threaten free speech, they put in Article 10 there, Section 10, which says nothing in this bill shall allow any abridgment of our freedom of expression.
Yeah,
and
we see, know how far that goes.
Yeah, but that's just this thin icing on top of this toxic cake with all these layers, all this gravity underneath it that is pulling down and pulling us down away from our liberties, taking away our liberties. And so the substance of the hate bill is to take away liberty at every level, and then they put this little thin layer of frosting on top, saying nothing in this bill shall threaten our free speech. It's entirely contradictory, but it's been quite effective in giving the impression, giving an arguing point for the liberals that this bill is innocuous, that this is a harmless bill, just wants to give federal powers to put down hate crimes in the states. And I think they could probably try that same tack again, to put on a contradictory amendment here, saying this bill will not protect anybody who's in violation of the law, when in reality, as I've been pointing out, this bill is massively arrayed powerfully to give any member of the homosexual classification first rights, peremptory rights in the eyes of the law. And then later, if it happens he's guilty, well, that's okay. But the main thing is he has the whole federal government, the justice system, the local and federal police on his side from the very beginning.
Now, what officially has the ADL's response been to all of this stalling in the Senate?
Well, I think the ADL is probably wringing its hands. I don't know how much of a fighter Patrick Leahy is. I think the Democrats are kind of suffering from the practical removal of Senator Edward Kennedy, as well as the complete removal of Senator Gordon Smith. They were very powerful and passionate advocates of the hate bill, always very aggressively pushing it forward. I'm not familiar enough with Patrick Leahy to know whether he has that kind of fire in his bones concerning the hate bill that they did, but he's very conspicuously not moving it forward. In fact, he gave out the official message several weeks ago that he was neither promising or denying any kind of hearings, and he seems to be kind of waiting there to see what happens. And I think that there's the liberals are burning their midnight oil on this subject. They want this hate bill very, very badly. They consider it the flagship of a whole armada. I might call it Obama's armada of other kinds of freedom-saving legislation. And if this hate bill goes down to defeat, they are going to be seriously crippled in other other bills like the end of bill and others which are coming along the pipeline.
And when we come back, I want to have you stay a little more because I do want to open up the other Pandora's box, not only ENDA, you know, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, but also, as Paul Craig Roberts has just written about not too long ago, the whole business of the Global Anti-Semitism Act. Now, just at the same time as this hate crimes bill advances. All right, so you stay with me, Ted Pike, and we will continue this discussion in just a few moments. His website, truthtellers.org, and you can access it just by going to it and in any search engine, okay? So I'm Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Remember, we are on for 2 hours each night. We'll be right back with more.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
All righty, we're back with Ted Pike. And, Ted, I wanted to also introduce this aspect of this whole debate. You know, Paul Craig Roberts, who, as many of our listeners know, has been in the Washington scene personally as Assistant Secretary at the Treasury in Reagan's years, and he's written several books, and one of them, The Tyranny of Good Intentions. And Paul Craig Roberts has stated just recently in this column that what we're seeing now is the end of free speech, ? He asks the question, criminalizing criticism of Israel. And he's basically referring to the bill that George W. Bush signed in 2004, the one we've talked about with you on this program and others, the Israel Lobby's bill, the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act. And as you know, it requires the U.S. State Department to monitor anti-Semitism worldwide. And that, of course, has to be defined. It really hasn't been defined as to what is anti-Semitism and what contributes to or constitutes a definition of being, quote, anti-Semitic. So, you know, Paul Craig Roberts says that Rahm Emanuel he hasn't been mopping floors at the White House, he says. As soon as he gets the Hate Crimes Prevention Act passed, which is what he thinks, it will become a crime for any American to tell the truth about Israel's treatment of Palestinians and theft of their lands. So basically, this bill that has been passed already in 2004, as we know, obviously is another major aspect of this all-out, full-pronged attack on American constitutional law and our personal liberties.
Yes, the Department of Global Anti-Semitism in the U.S. State Department is another one of these ADL fronts. It is sustained by statistics gathering and presented to Congress every year, every spring, from ADL researches and statistics investigations throughout the entire world. And, you know, it's interesting. Every year, the Department of Global Anti-Semitism submits a report to Congress. And in the last couple of years, they've had some pretty frightening definitions of anti-Semitism. 2 years ago, they said that a Polish priest who said that the Jews had Christ killed 2,000 years ago was an example of anti-Semitism in Poland. And then last spring, State Department said that any Christian who affirms that the Jews had Christ killed 2,000 years ago is a classic anti-Semite. And, of course, a classic anti-Semite means Adolf Hitler. He's the very definition of a classic anti-Semite. So here's the ADL through our U.S. State Department putting a huge noose around millions, tens of millions of New Testament-believing Christians saying they are now anti-Semitic for believing what the Book of Acts has to say about the crucifixion.
Well, Abe Foxman himself has said that the New Testament is an anti-Semitic book.
Oh, absolutely. Abe Foxman, in his book, it's called Never Again with a question mark, the threat of the new anti-Semitism. He states very flatly there that the New Testament is the fuel, is the very basis of the anti-Semitism throughout the ages leading to the Holocaust. And therefore, Christianity basically is responsible for the Holocaust.
So now we can assume that the Bible, the scriptures, are constituting hate literature. And if hate literature is to be banned at some point at the prodding of the ADL, as we've seen in other countries, and we've seen people prosecuted for the very least of things quoting from that so-called hate literature, then really, how long will it be before the ADL may be able to have these politicians dangling on strings, as they have, attorneys general, already 10 of them or more in the United States, signing on to the Israeli invasion of Gaza as self-defense? How long will it be before the Bible itself will eventually be on trial, that is, the New Testament, and people that adhere to it and believe it, be charged with hate crimes in America?
Just as soon as Obama signs this bill, that's the moment that any pastor, any talk show host, any public person whose speech might influence some kind of a violent hate crime against a Jew, against a homosexual, against a Latino or whatever, will be indictable as a principal under federal law for complicity in that hate crime. And he'll have to stand in the same courtroom along with the active defender facing years of federal imprisonment.
Now, that's the interesting point, because what you say, I think, is well known by people who follow these groups and follow these extremist organizations like ADL, and also know the legal issues, attorneys and so forth. Yet you very seldom, if ever, hear them, even on the so-called conservative Fox Network, talking like we're talking tonight to alert the American public as to what the real game plan is here.
If anybody doubts the control of the media, the manipulation, the powers of censorship and blackout of the American media, which is predominantly Jewish controlled, then just ask yourself, did I hear about the hate crimes bill in Congress this week or this month? Of course not. They are completely shutting this out from any discussion, even pro or con, among the American people. They are wanting to go ahead, basically under the radar, hoping and that the senators and the House members who have agreed to vote for it will vote like robots, and they will go through without any kind of public approval or disapproval. And now this is proof positive that we have an absolutely manipulated source of public information and warning in this country. You know, you may have remembered Bill Brumbaugh, who was a very well-known talk show host during, I think, the 90s and so on, and he had something like 400 affiliates, and I believe he's passed away now. But he told me, and I'll go ahead and name a name tonight, he told me that he was a good friend of Chris Matthews of Hardball back in those years. And just several years ago, he called Chris and he said, "Chris, why aren't you speaking out against this very dangerous hate crimes bill?" And Chris told him, he said, "Bill, if I were to do that, I'd lose my job." He said, "I get a directive every month from NBC headquarters on what I can talk about and what I can't talk about. Hate crimes legislation is absolutely forbidden for me to have any opinion about that, and that's the reality." Now, I think this Fox News 5-minute special alert by Megyn Kelly was probably an aberration. She was very angry about it. Her maybe maternal domestic instincts were bristling. She was very angry. She was solidly on our side against the pedophile protecting bill, interviewing Representative Steve King there. But I haven't heard any more out of Fox News, and I don't expect any more, because obviously Rupert Murdoch is part of the Jewish cabal of media moguls who are determined to keep this undercover.
Absolutely.
And
he is, certainly conferring regularly with ADL and other groups that he imposed that agenda on the major media players. You're right.
Yeah.
So we don't expect that to be the case. But this Global Anti-Semitism Act that we've talked about and that Paul Craig Roberts has written about needs to be, I think, seen by more and more people as the basic wedge in the door here as leading up to the inevitable hate crimes bill being passed so that they can not only silence criticism of Israel, but now punish in other countries as well as here in the United States, punish American citizens now for doing the same thing, for criticism directed at Zionism, at Judaism, Talmudism, and so forth. So I think we should definitely not lose sight of that fact.
Well, actually, in the last couple of reports to Congress, the State Department has stated very clearly that it considers any vehement or strong criticism of Israel to be anti-Semitism. Now, it says you can kind of academically disagree with them or so on, but if your criticism rises to the level of strong criticism of Israel's leaders, especially likening them in any way to the Nazis, that's considered anti-Semitism by the U.S. State Department, and any kind of strong criticism of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, in their treatment of the Palestinians or the people of Gaza, it certainly would be considered anti-Semitism by our government now. Now, up in Canada, anti-Semitism is considered a hate crime because you're holding up members of a federally protected group, which are Jews, to hatred or contempt. And again, as I've probably mentioned on this program, I do have a friend in Toronto. I asked him, I said, what would happen if you were to speak out publicly on the street corner, maybe mentioning that the Jews killed Christ? And he said, Ted, if I were to do that, I'd be playing with fire. He said that very night I could probably get a knock on my door and the police would be taking me down for questioning. So in Canada, it's already a hate crime to criticize matters Jewish. Israel is matters Jewish. The whole idea of hate laws is matters Jewish because these Jewish activists created the hate laws. So it's a very delicate subject, and obviously what the Department of Global Anti-Semitism is trying to do is to make this noose just as wide as possible now, getting as many Christian conservatives inside of it as possible. And we have seen just in the last month or so, we've seen the Missouri State Police acting under orders from the influence of the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, villainizing Christian conservative pro-lifers, etc. We've also seen Janet Napolitano of Homeland Security giving an almost identical directive and warning to the American people to basically beware of the religious right. And by the way, Napolitano, just a couple of weeks ago, was a featured speaker at a big ADL conference in which she was flattering ADL, buttering them up. Obviously, you know where that directive came from.
Exactly. And we brought it out here. We talked about it when it first came out. Made no bones about it. Now, also, one more piece of the pie that has to be added here by me, and that is with the orchestration of the installment of the most radical of fundamentalist extremists, if I may use that term, in the state of Israel itself, to the prime minister's position, Bibi Netanyahu, who has been implicated in the 9/11 attacks on America, to see his ascendancy on that scandal that was created with the previous administration, knowing his past, knowing we have someone perhaps even more militant than Ariel Sharon, who has a more silver spoon and a velvety tongue in his mouth. All of this now on a worldwide stage, to me, seems to be gelling together as part of a prophecy of Antichrist. And I don't think this is a coincidence, not to mention the economic worldwide depression that's being created. So something is afoot here, and it looks as if it's part of a concerted effort domestically and across the globe.
Well, I do think that if the federal hate crime bill is passed, that will definitively push us over into a one-world internationally enforced hate crimes bureaucracy, not just in America, but in a way coming out of Europe, the Congress of Europe, the European Union, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, which is the ADL's big 56-member hate crimes Gestapo in Europe, where we're going to be internationalizing hate crimes enforcement, leaping over national boundaries, national sovereignty, and so on. And that's why this we really are literally on the crest of a mountain here. On one half, we have the ascent of Christian civilization, and then if we go over the edge now with federal empowerment to unify local law enforcement and federal enforcement and broaden out into a great speech crimes law for America and a bias-oriented justice system, we really have lost our republic and our freedoms. And with the loss of free speech, of course, comes the loss of everything else.
Yes, so therefore you're urging people, despite that gloomy picture, to do what on the website?
Well, it may be a gloomy picture, but I'm also saying that we're finding that God Almighty is again, I believe, confounding them. This hate bill could easily have been signed into law a week ago by President Obama. We are again finding evidences here of divine grace and mercy and giving us time. But we've got to do our part. We've got to take action. And I'm just encouraging people to not let up now. Keep those calls going in. And you can find all 19 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee on the action page at truthtellers.org. You'll find your two members of the Senate there. You'll find all 100 members of the Senate. Tomorrow morning, let's get those calls going in to, especially to your members of the Senate, as well as the 19 members of the Judiciary. And that the toll-free number to your members of the Senate is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number, 877-851-6437, and the backup toll number is 202-225-3121. Again, that's 202-225-3121. And tell the staffers there at their offices, please hold hate bill hearings. If I and my friends find out that the senator has voted for the Pedophile Protection Act, we will never forgive or forget.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we know those words, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, and with the midterm elections coming on, that's not too much time for them to count on us having amnesia about this. People are going to remember. We've got to let all of them know that regardless of what kinds of deals they've cut with the ADL, with the Democratic leadership, nevertheless, they could well lose their political careers in a close election, if it's on their record that they supported this pedophile protecting legislation.
All right, Ted, very well. And it brings us right up to the end of this segment. And it's very interesting what you've said, and certainly very thoughtful of you to bring us up to date. We will keep watch.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. All right, thank you, and I'll be back with more topics and more of this discussion when we continue. Rick Adams, Uncensored, right here on republicbroadcasting.org.